who is the Antichrist? If you ask 100 different people that question, you might receive 50 different answers. If you ask the same person that question at different times in his life, you might receive different answers from the same person. You see, man has many different ideas regarding the Antichrist. But what does the Bible say? Does the Bible touch on this subject at all? And if so, what does God have to tell us regarding Antichrist? Stay tuned, and together we'll explore God's truth for the world.
The Churches of Christ bring you Truth for the World. And now, Paul Meacham, Jr.
We're so happy that you've decided to join us today for this period of Bible study. We should all realize that it is a privilege to be able to study God's Word, that God has revealed His will to us through the Bible. But it is an additional pleasure to be able to study with you, to be able to sit down and open God's book with people who have a love for it and a belief in it. We begin a brand new study today, and we've entitled the lesson, Many Antichrists Have Come. Now, I know that you've heard much about the Antichrist. In fact, if you listen to religious programming on radio or television, you hear about that almost to the exclusion of all other matters. But today I want us to turn our attention to God's Word, to see what the Bible actually can teach us about this important topic, for it is a Bible subject. Open your Bible to 1 John chapter 2. Over the last couple of years, we have limited ourselves to pretty much topical studies. That means that we have chosen a particular word or character or topic and studied that and what the Bible has to say about it. I'd like to today begin a study that is a textual study. We're going to begin in John chapter 2 and verse 18. And over the next few weeks, we're going to study these 10 verses from verse 18 down through verse 28. We're going to take the first section, which is John, or rather 1 John chapter 2, verses 18 through 23. This first part of the passage constitutes a warning that John, the great apostle John, is giving to these people that he loves very dearly. Read with me beginning in verse 18. John writes, "Little children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come." And of course, that's where we've taken our title from today. Many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest, that none of them were of us. But you have an anointing of the Holy One, and you know all things. I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. This passage is seldom studied, and when it is studied, it's often misunderstood. What I'd like for us to be able to do over the next couple of weeks is to look at it verse by verse, understand what the passage actually does teach, so that we need not to be afraid of these things that many fear. Let's begin our study with verse 18, and we probably will not progress beyond that today. Read with me again verse 18 of 1 John 2. Little children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. John here addresses these Christians as little children. These are those whom he loved very dearly. In fact, this address of little children is relatively rare in the Bible. It only occurs 11 times. Of those 11 times, 9 times John uses those terms, little children, 5 times in this second chapter of 1 John alone. If we wonder where he came up with this, it's very easy for us to understand. In the book of John, the Gospel according to John, as we sometimes refer to it, John records these words that Christ spoke in John 13 and verse 33. There our Lord to his disciples said, "Little children, I shall be with you a little while longer. You will see me, and as I said to the Jews, where I am going you cannot come, So now I say to you. Jesus had been a daily companion of these disciples almost for 3 years at the time that this was spoken. But he was preparing to leave them, and they would be alone on this earth without him. He was trying to comfort them, and in comforting them he said, "Little children." He referred to them as his children, for he was responsible for teaching them and bringing them up in their faith. We see John referring to these Christians as little children. It's very possible that he is the one who taught them the truth initially, and if not, the one who taught them the truth, the one responsible for their continuing education in the truth and their growth as a child of God and a servant of our Lord. He referred to them as his little children. This is a term of love. Now, I say that because John is about to give them a very strong warning. This is a warning that might have offended some. In fact, oftentimes today, if we try to warn someone that some belief or behavior of theirs is in error, they take it as a sign of hatred. But John is giving this warning not out of hatred, but out of love for them. He then says in verse 18, "You have heard." What was it that they had heard? He's about to warn them of something, but it's really not a new matter to them. They have already been warned in the past. John is simply renewing that particular warning to them. Now, I don't believe he's referring here to an Old Testament prophecy. Sometimes that was the case. Sometimes a phrase like this refers to something that they might have heard from other men that lived around them at the time. I remember Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount many times saying, "Ye have heard that it hath been said." And each time he was referring to an interpretation of the law that people of that day had made. And Jesus then corrected their false interpretation of the law by saying, "But I say unto you." And in each case, he took them back to God's original intent in the law that was given. Here he says, "You have heard." You have been warned about this in the past. Now, some also ascribe this warning that he's referring to here to the false Christ of Matthew chapter 24 and Mark chapter 13. On those occasions, in fact, it was actually one occasion, just simply two different records of it, Jesus is discussing with his disciples a particular question that they asked. And he refers to the fact that there were a number of signs that would show them when the city of Jerusalem was going to be destroyed. And one of those signs is that there will be false Christ, and they were not to follow those false Christs. Now, that doesn't seem to fit the pattern of this particular verse either. For the warning given here is not that of the rising up of any particular man, but rather the general falling away of the people of God from the faith. We should realize that the apostasy that is being referred to here is something that the church was warned about. In fact, the church of the first century, even in its infancy and so close to the time of the apostles, was constantly warned of the apostasy that was to come. We see first of all in 1 Timothy chapter 4, beginning in verse 1, that Paul tells the young preacher Timothy, "Now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons." Notice he said this would come in the latter times. Keep that phrase in mind, for we're going to run into it again. In 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 3, Paul wrote to the church at Thessalonica and said, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day." Now the day that he's referring to here is the second coming of our Lord. They expected it to be within their lifetime. Now history has proven that that did not take place. But he says, "That day will not come unless the falling away comes first." Paul was explaining to them that Jesus is going to come again. He said that he would in John chapter 14, and Jesus is always true to his promise. However, they were expecting that second coming to be within their lifetime. And he said, first, this great apostasy will occur, this great falling away from the faith. In 2 Timothy 3, beginning in verse 1, Paul gives very specific warnings as to some of those things that would take place. He says, "Know this, that in the last days," now there's that phrase again, the last days, the latter times, he says, "perilous times will come. Men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying its power, and from such people, turn away. Paul was trying to explain to Timothy about all of the terrible things that would happen. Possibly he was giving him advance warning so that Timothy could give that warning to the church and they would not be surprised to see these terrible things happen. Men were going to accept the faith, but then turn away from it. These warnings were given to the church in general. But the Bible is also filled for us with warnings that were given to individuals, where specific Christians were told, do not fall away yourself. Now, Paul gives this particular warning to the Ephesian elders. In Acts chapter 20, beginning in verse 28, as we go on in our study, we see that he called the elders to come to him, and he warns them, take heed therefore to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God which he purchased with his own blood. For I know that after my departing, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves, this is among the elders, that's the leaders of the church, and those are the ones that Paul was addressing. He said, men will rise from among the elders even, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after themselves. Therefore, watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn every day everyone, night and day, with tears. These people needed to hear a specific warning that they not fall away. There was an apostasy that was coming, and it would be made up of individuals who left the faith. Jesus warned his disciples in Luke chapter 21 and verse 34, take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing and drunkenness and the cares of this life, and that day come upon you unexpectedly. They needed to hear that warning that they were not to turn away from God's Word. In 1 Corinthians 9, beginning in verse 26, Paul gives a warning to them by explaining that he warns himself as well. Paul said, therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty, thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. Paul realized that it would be possible for him to teach the truth to others and that they might be saved, and in the end he would be lost because he had not yet disciplined himself. We need to understand that this warning that applied to the church of the first century, that applied to individuals of the first century, that applied even to the great apostle Paul, applies to us today. We need to be sure that we do not become hardened in our hearts. We need to understand we can fall away if we are not careful. Therefore, a warning is given to us by the warnings that were given to them. The writer of the book of Hebrews in chapter 12, beginning in verse 14, said, pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord, looking diligently lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble. And by this, many become defiled. Now, he's talking about people that are holy at this time. They are already the children of God. But we can fall short of God's grace and become defiled. This warning should be one that we all heed in order that we are not part of an apostasy, not part of a falling away. Now, that great apostasy, of course, has already occurred in the past. We know then that our Lord's second coming could be any time. We need to, on an individual basis, be sure that we are ready for that coming and that we have not fallen away. Returning to our text then, verse 18 of 1 John chapter 2, we then see that he says many antichrists have come. Now, many today are looking for the antichrist. In fact, most of the religious world seeks a single antichrist, the antichrist, one great man who will rise up and do an evil work. Consider these quotations. from modern-day premillennial preachers. One says, today the man, notice, the man, who will command this economic and military colossus is alive and well on planet Earth. He says that not only will there be a single Antichrist, but that he knows that person's already alive. A second quotation, and heading up this 10-nation confederacy will be a man of such magnetism and power that he will become the greatest dictator the world has ever known. He will be the Antichrist. You see, men are expecting one Antichrist, one great ruler. It says the time is ripe and getting riper for the great dictator, the one we call the future Führer. This is the one who is predicted in Scripture very clearly and called the Antichrist. All of these are the ideas of men. Man is expecting one single man, an evil man, to rise to power and to do all of the things that the Bible refers to. But what did our text say? It's very clear, isn't it? The Bible says, many Antichrists have come. That means that not only is there more than one, not only are they multiple in nature, but they had already begun to show themselves even during the time that John lived. Now, the exact date of John's death is not very clearly known. But even if he lived to the very extreme of what men have thought of, that was almost 1,900 years ago. We need to understand that 1,900 years ago, the Antichrists were already making themselves known. Now, man has chosen many different men over time as the Antichrist and have named them as such. Consider just a few as we quickly move through our list. There was Benito Mussolini during World War II. He was supposed to be the Antichrist. Adolf Hitler, during the same World War, was supposed to be the Antichrist. Joseph Stalin, as he came to power in the Soviet Union and promoted communism, was to be the Antichrist. Nikita Khrushchev, also, who followed Stalin as the leader of Russia, he was going to be the Antichrist. Fidel Castro, the communist leader of Cuba, when he came to power, men named him as the Antichrist. Henry Kissinger, who was a United States Secretary of State under President Nixon, he was named as the Antichrist. And in the last few decades, we have the Ayatollah Khomeini in the late 1970s, who came to power in Iran. He was to be the Antichrist. And then Saddam Hussein, the radical Muslim leader in Iraq. All of these men have been named by those who are supposed to know, those who claim some private knowledge and prophecy of the Scripture. All of these men have been named as the Antichrist, yet none of them have actually fulfilled the role that man set aside for them. The Bible is not telling us about one great Antichrist that will come. The Bible is telling us that there were many Antichrists, and they had already come. Now, as we continue our study in later days, you're going to see who the Antichrists were. You're going to understand why they were called that, and the Bible clearly describes them to us. So it is not some great leader in the future that we need to fear. Now, going back to our text of 1 John 2 and verse 18, we see that these things referred to showed John that they were in the last time. The very last days, the last hours. Now, this does not mean that he expected the coming of our Lord to be very, very soon. He didn't know when our Lord was going to come, for that information has not been given to man. We do understand this phrase, the last times, or the last hour, to mean that we are in the last dispensation of time. There was a time that is known as the patriarchal time, when God delivered His law through the patriarchs, the fathers of the families. Abraham lived during that time. There was a time known as the Mosaic time, where God delivered a law to a particular nation through the man Moses, then the Ten Commandments. We also now know that we live in the Christian dispensation, this last time, and that there will be no law that comes after this, for this law is the one that will stand before us in the day of judgment, John chapter 12 and verse 48. The Bible has told us about this last time in order that we not be surprised. In Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 2, it was prophesied, "Now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow to it. This, of course, is a prophecy of the beginning of the Lord's church on Mount Zion in Jerusalem. And that occurred in Acts chapter 2. We know that it did because in Acts chapter 2, and beginning in verse 16, the great apostle Peter says, "But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out of my Spirit on all flesh." Now Joel had prophesied that that would occur in the last days. And Peter clearly identifies that time as being the day of Pentecost following the resurrection of our Lord. The record is found in Acts chapter 2. We see the Lord's church established, and we see it begin to grow and fill the entire world. In Hebrews chapter 1, beginning in verse 1, we read that God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the worlds. So we see then, when we turn back to our text of 1 John chapter 2 and verse 18, little children, it is the last time. How did John know that? Because the Bible had told us things that would occur during the last time. And those things were occurring even then. He knew he was in the last dispensation, and there would be no dispensation after this, no law given after that law. As ye have heard, they had been warned about the Antichrist. They had already been told about this spirit of apostasy that would go through and take Christians away who would lose their faith. He tells them then, even now there are many Antichrists, whereby we know that this is the last time. We understand what John is saying if we take what the Bible says. For we understand that there were men who arose even at that time. Now, Lord willing, we'll continue this study next week. And we'll find out that these men who are referred to as Antichrists in verse 18 were one-time Christians. They were children of God, but they had gone out from God's people. And they had denied the faith. Doing so, they became servants of Satan and were against Christ. They were antichrists. Until next week, this is Paul Meacham, reminding you that God's Word is the truth for the world.